Well, welcome everyone. Monday morning. Hope you're all fantastically well and ready to take on the world. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast, episode 73. And I have the wonderful Carlo Guzzi here with me in the studio. How you doing, Carlo?
I'm doing great, Darren, from sunny Perth. And how are you?
Very well. Yes, we were just mentioning that the weather in Perth is a little bit better than the weather in Sydney. So I'm very, very jealous, mate.
We average between 22 to 24 degrees most days. But yeah, we did have some rain probably a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, Perth's got that reputation of sunny weather and beautiful beaches.
Mate, say no more. You're killing me.
Yeah.
So for everybody out there today, we're going to be tackling a very interesting topic and hopefully something that is going to be useful for everybody out there in your marketing strategies, because we're going to be teaching you how to unlock your inner marketing genius. And Carlo is a copywriter with 25 years experience, and he's lived and breathed business and copywriting. He is currently classified as a LinkedIn fanatic. In today's disrupted business world, buyer skepticism is at an all-time high, and we are constantly being bombarded with marketing messages. So we must therefore learn how to massage our prospects with a softer approach and guide our prospects to buy while handling them with care. So the art is to deliver marketing messages that resonate with our audience by telling more persuasive stories. So Carlo is going to be chatting all about that today. So welcome, Carlo. Thanks for coming on the show.
No, appreciate being your guest today. Really look forward to it.
I'm very excited, and you know, a great topic for a Monday morning. People can get into it and start putting this into practice as soon as they finish listening.
Yeah, like get that creativity happening and using our processes to create better stories.
Absolutely, mate. And you hear a lot about that now, isn't it? Storytelling. Storytelling is everything. Everybody wants to fall in love with the story behind something, the person behind something. They want to hear your story. Is that something that's been around for years, or is it just something that's changed, you think, in the last, you know, 5-10 years?
It's a good question. It's very topical, of course. And no, it's not new. It's just become more fashionable in recent years, mainly through a lot of TEDx talkers.
Yep.
And really very good speakers. They are very exceptional writing, telling stories. Where, yeah, my specialty is more in the written word, but
yep,
it's something that's been with us for a long time. You know, when we were kids, we loved our bedtime stories when our parents would read our stories. And as a parent, I had to do that many times. It definitely helped putting my oldest daughter to sleep.
Very good.
She was needed a bit more entertainment. So no, it's all about entertainment. It's always been there, but obviously marketers have really latched onto it in recent years because the old close hard techniques just don't really make it, they're not relevant anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So would you say that being a good bedtime storyteller makes you a better marketer?
It's definitely a good prerequisite, I reckon. Or if you're a parent, nothing against single people, but look, stories are everywhere. I mean, you can be driving in your car, and even for myself, an idea just pops in into my head. So yeah, just any little tidbit during the day makes a good story.
Oh, fantastic. So Carlo, how did you get into storytelling and marketing and copywriting in the first place?
Years ago when I was running a tile importing business, I did have to hire a copywriter, and then I saw, the sort of immediate impact. So, and then I just thought, not at that time, that's what I'd like to do. But I think it was like a year later, I got really interested in the subject, and then I was looking at hiring a marketing expert, and then I just started following some people online, and it just grew from there. So it was while I was in my own business exploring those avenues, and yeah, it wasn't something that, you know, I didn't really do a course in then, but later on I did many courses and I got immersed into it and got quite obsessive about it. So, yeah, it's just something that I enjoy doing. It's kind of, it's basically sales in print. So I've done sales most of my life, face-to-face sales. So it definitely resonates with me.
And were you always a good writer? Did you always have a gift for the written word, or is it something you developed?
Yeah, I think just developed over time. So, but I remember when I was in high school, I wrote one good sort of essay or story about the America's Cup, and I got a good grade for that, even though I wasn't considered an A English student. So I think there was always a little bit there, but I did want to become a journalist. But, the West Australian, I couldn't get in as a cadet, so I was disappointed when I was 16, but I guess it was came out later in life. But, yeah, it's what I wanted to do. But, yeah, I did want to become a sports journalist because I was always a sports fanatic.
Okay, fantastic. I mean, I love playing with words and playing around with copy because you can really have fun and get creative and, you know, you change the position of a couple of words or put a different inflection or an exclamation mark. You know, you can be really creative and you can really create some amazing things just by being a little bit, curious and having a bit of a relationship with language.
Yeah. I mean, I consider myself a sales language expert. So even when I'm sending texts to people, I'm forever thinking, oh, that doesn't sound right. I don't just send it. I mean, unless it's a quick thank you type thing. But, yeah, I'm always playing around with words, if it's a LinkedIn message or, you know, just any kind of email. And, I mean, I use the Grammarly app a lot. So that definitely is a great help, great tool in writing better.
Yeah, I should check that out. I haven't really tried Grammarly, but I've heard a lot about it.
No, it's pretty cool. It does improve your writing and it's definitely helpful for anyone who writes blogs, definitely.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I just love having that blank canvas in front of you and you start filling it up with words and you can just have some fun and you just never know what's going to come out of it. Like you can have something in your head, but as soon as you start putting words or print or text to paper or in digital form, it takes on its own life and the finished product is usually different to what you might have anticipated. So it's a fascinating subject, really, copyright.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's interesting and everyone's got the ability to be a good one. They've just got to extract that sort of talent out of them because most people that I speak to, they say, oh, I just stare at a screen. I don't know what to write. But it's when you do learn about copywriting, it's really it's actually learning a systematic approach. It's quite systematic.
Okay.
But the best part is actually handwriting on paper. That usually gets your best ideas down.
Yep. I agree. So, mate, let's jump in. I mean, if we want to become better marketers and better influencers and better storytellers, tell us a bit more about how to do that. You know, what is that systematic approach to take? You know, how can we train ourselves to become better copywriters and better marketers?
Yeah, that's another pretty good question, Darren. So I'd say you've just got to get that sort of frustration, that feeling inside of you and getting down on paper. So that's a generalized sort of like answer. But, yeah, more specifically, like copywriting and storytelling, they actually work differently. So they do work differently, even though they work together. So it's a bit contradictory, but I'll explain that copywriting, you assemble it. Yep. It's like an IKEA table, which is very difficult to put together, as we know.
And assembling those things. Oh, my God.
Yeah, assembled copy, you know, you put in your arguments and testimonials and things like that. And obviously your opening paragraph with storytelling, it's more like has a beginning, middle, and end. Right. That's your three-step process to a story. But they merge. You can use the both, but they're done differently. So,
interesting.
I'd say storytelling is more left brain too, because that's your emotional side.
Yep.
So if you're in touch with your feelings, your emotions, that's how you become a better storyteller. But you do have to get inspiration, can be, you know, YouTube videos, obviously podcasts and books. I mean, I've listened to quite a few audiobooks and storytelling, and that's how you get yourself into the game, like they say. But you need to pull in from different sources.
Yeah,
you know, many different sources, and you know, some people are probably more creative than other people. But yeah, just use your creativity, it's all about research, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and some people are, you know, natural storytellers verbally, but I think anybody can really train themselves and get better at storytelling, and particularly when you're talking about storytelling in text form, you have some time. You're not actually just storytelling verbally, so you actually have some time to create it, craft it, and you know, rejig it and make sure it's right. So you know, I don't see why you can't develop that skill.
No, it's like anything. It's like riding a bike. I mean, the first time, you know, you've got your trainer wheels, and you're not going to be particularly steady. So you've got to be prepared to give yourself the license to make mistakes. And you can't be, with any type of riding, you can't be brilliant first time around. But yeah, you've got to be able to experiment with words, phrases. You know, watch how really great riders, how they put things together. But yeah, anybody can do it. But like you said, written word is a lot easier than the because with when you're doing a talk, you kind of got to cut out those ums and ahs, and it's
you can't just say, hold on, I'm just going to erase that line and I'll replace it with this.
Now the written word, you've got more license, you got more flexibility doing things. But verbal, people can see your body language. So you've actually got to be, I'd say verbal storytelling is probably harder, and I'd say I'm probably not as good at that, but it's not to say that I couldn't, but definitely the written word is a bit more comfortable.
Oh, nice. And so then with copywriting, have you got any tips for people, just to, you know, one or two or three tips that really can make them have a better relationship with copywriting and how that actually works?
Yeah, well, basically copywriting, I mean, there's so many aspects to it. I mean, just to break it down, you've basically got your headline. That's pretty much your number one thing.
Yep.
And it was David Ogilvy, legendary advertising man, said that if you spend 80 cents of every dollar on your advertising, it's money well spent.
Wow.
So if anybody wants to learn about copywriting, they should just Google David Ogilvy quotes, because all of them are just full of they're all gold nuggets, still relevant today. So headlines, number one, and we've touched on storytelling elements. So it doesn't matter what product or service you have, you know, just talk about the story, you know, how the product's made, you know, how you, if you were broke, you know, how you went from where you were to where you are now, that's really important, because people like that connection point.
Yep.
And I guess the third important part is, it's really like your proof, testimonials, so, you know, and social proof. It's all pretty important. So that has to, the copywriting complements that. But yeah, without the proof, it's really hard to make sales as such.
So it's kind of like the headline, which is the hook. Then you have your text, or your, you know, your meat and potatoes, and then you have your testimonials or your social proof that substantiates that.
Yeah, so the meat and potatoes, us marketers call that the body copy.
Body, yep.
Yeah, that's the actual term. So I hope listeners are tuning in. That's a little tip there. And obviously, I didn't mention call to actions, but yeah, they're very important. So usually, you know, longer form, like a sales letter, an average, you need about three sort of call to action. So you've got to repeat it.
Oh, really?
Time. Yeah, not just putting it at the end.
That's interesting. I didn't think of that.
Right. Well, you may need to go more than that, but yeah, it's very important to remind people what you're sort of selling.
That's a very good point. So all the way throughout, you should kind of revisit the call to action, so you can give people an opportunity.
Yeah, you put it at
straight away.
Yeah, you put it at intervals. Like, you probably don't put it in the first couple of paragraphs, because you're introducing yourself, but say in the middle towards the end, you could have an offer, state that above the headline. But yeah, there's so many things involved in copyright, because even under a headline, you can have a sub-headline or you can have above it.
That's right.
But there's different ways, because people's eyes are lazy. You got to try different ways of grabbing their attention.
Yep.
So, yeah, even changing font does help.
Yeah. And what about things like bullet points and emojis and, you know, graphics and color maybe, just to break things up a bit? Would you recommend that?
Probably nowadays people are more fascinated by emojis, but if it's a direct mail piece that ain't to a corporation, I'm not sure if that's going to work. But yeah, graphics is important.
Yep.
You definitely got graphics. Obviously, you know, having the right image there, like with the logo, it's all very important. But yeah, definitely those things. But on a LinkedIn post, emojis work really well.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I mean, you have to really be, you have to think about the platform that you're on and different. You have to adapt your style a little bit to the form of copywriting or the form of content that you're creating. If it's a LinkedIn post or a Facebook post or an Instagram post or a letter or an email, it's all a little bit different. So good point. You have to really kind of adapt yourself a little bit to the platform, the native platform in a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's some shopping retailers, you see there, I receive their emails all the time, but I never click on them. So the thing is, with an email, you don't want to make it look like an email. You don't want to be seen like you're promoting something. And it's like, you know, to get the thing opened, it's like, it's got to be interesting. So I think that's where the headline comes into play. But sometimes, there's always, put it this way, there's always a better way of communicating with another person. But sometimes those big bang sort of type emails just don't really work.
Yep. Like, I've definitely found myself that, like when they say a picture tells 1,000 words. So if I put a graphic to something, it usually does very well. Whereas sometimes if you don't, it gets a little lost. Or even if I have a headline in bold with a certain fluorescent color, it just does so much better than a video without that, because it just draws your attention straight away. We're so attention poor. We need to be constantly, hooked.
Because everyone's kind of addicted to social these days. So it's like, you know, if you're just another written post or, you know, it's not standing out. I know a lot of influencers are using subtitles on their videos, so that's another way of standing out. I mean, I don't use them, but everything has its reason. But you just test and measure and see what works. That's the best philosophy. I'm not here to say that subtitles are good or not good. You've just got to be able to test and measure, like all forms of marketing, really.
Yeah, good point. So you really got to just keep on experimenting and testing, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. The platform is different. The audience is different. The product or solution might be different. So you have to keep on playing. It's a fluid, moving organism, really. It's not just there's no hard and fast rules that are going to work for you every single time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people just should look at it as a game. So business, marketing, it's just a game. And I guess it's how you play the game. And, you know, sometimes to play the game's not easy. Sometimes you're behind at half time and you sort of like win at the end. But if you see it more as a game, you sort of, I think you open your creative spark more. But if you see it as a struggle, or this post's not working, but talking about social, Facebook does have some neat little emojis that you just click on it now. So that's pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just want to revisit what you said, because I really believe that. I think that's hits home with me, that social media is a game. It's like a game for adults. It's a game of psychology. And it's, you know, you have to really dedicate yourself to it. And, you know, it has to become part of your daily routine. You can't just do it once here and there and forget about it. You have to really build a relationship with it, with marketing, with copywriting. with graphics, and you continually get better over time. But it is a game. It's a game of psychology. And, you know, I think you're right. If you can kind of think of it long term, that it's a game that you're playing and you're getting better at all the time, then you'll win in the end. It's not just a one step, two step, three, and off you go and do something else. And it's creative, as you mentioned, which is another great point. You know, for me, it's about, it's part science, part art. You know, there's a, there's this relationship with, you know, certain technical aspects, but then there's the artistic creative process, and you can break all the rules and sometimes you can do incredibly well. So that's what I love so much about it. It's kind of this, this fun, creative game.
Yeah, no, no. Copywriting is basically, it's all psychology.
Yep.
It's understanding how people think, and it's flipping things around. But like a famous copywriter, Gary Wenger said, you can have the best copywriters in the world, but if you don't have proof, so as much as it's psychology, but he said proof was the number one sales factor.
Is that right? And if, proof meaning like social proof and things like that?
No, actual proof.
Ah, you mean so like if only what you can do?
Yeah, like if it's like a if it's a pharmaceutical product, proof that the actual medication on that tablet does the job.
Gotcha.
Or if you're a mechanic, you know, proof that you're on time. You know, it's like you've actually got to have really hard proof that that actually does the selling for you.
Yeah, perfect.
So the copywriting is just kind of supports that.
Yeah, the copywriting but opens up the door. But then you've actually got to show that you can actually follow up.
Yeah, because basically if you are creative with your words but the product doesn't live up to the expectations, you're going to have a lot of returns.
Yep,
totally. And which does happen in online programs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's kind of, like you said, it's science, it's art, it's combined. So the science is the factual part, the proof that it works.
That's right.
The creative part is using certain words, you know, like there's power words, which I do talk about at different webinars. So
let's actually jump into that. Give us some
words
or some examples of copywriting that, you know, and why they work so well. I'd love to give the audience some real understanding of how to put together copy.
Yeah, well, power words is really important to use. At least one, you can actually use two in a headline. So depending how long you go, but you see car dealers or manufacturers use them. So ones like announcing, that's a pretty good one. Discover when it's something
nice.
New.
Yep, I like.
Like introducing is another one, and then you got proven. If you've got a product and proven that easy, it's just nice and easy.
Free, that must be a good one.
Guaranteed, free, money.
Yep.
Unlock, which I think we've named this podcast, Joe. That's a power word.
Yep.
Unlock.
Yep.
I think saver. Oh, there's about I've compiled a list. There's about 120. There's even actually more. I think there's probably about 200 different power words.
My God, man, that's incredible.
Yeah, there's heaps of them. So if you use one of those in your headline, it's going to be more impactful. And, and then obviously when you write in the body copy, which you call the meat and potatoes, that's it's got to be flowing. But that's also challenging. But the headline is that's you can spend a lot of time to create a powerful headline. They're not that easy, but...
No, and you can change one word and everything changes.
Yeah, because people just like, you've only really got, I think, 3 to 5 seconds now to grab people's attention. So they are important and there's no doubt about that. And you just, you have to actually do your homework. You just can't pluck a headline out of the sky. I mean, I've got different resources and templates, and that's where I get inspiration. But also there's publications, there's Reader's Digest, there's like if you're from the UK, UK tabloids, any sort of Australian women's magazine. So there's some of the best copywriters because their headlines grab your attention.
Great.
It's those gossip magazines.
All right, so maybe I should go subscribe to some of those.
I know. Well, yeah, Woman's Day, New Idea. Yeah, they're two good ones. I think the Who magazine, they do good ones. But okay, yeah,
right, interesting.
But the American, there's a particular magazine, and I've quoted it before. I just can't remember it, but it's pretty good. I think it's National Enquirer, that's right.
Oh, yeah, and they're good with the
comments. Yeah, there's a lot of Trump headlines in that one. So even using a headline that made reference to a famous person, even that's a good tactic. So it's all the psychology. The headline is more the psychology, which is the hook.
Yep, yep, exactly, yep.
And the body copy sort of goes into, has that kind of story element.
Yep.
But, yeah, you try not. You try and mix up the paragraphs. You try not to have them all the same. So they're the tips I'd have. People don't go long in paragraphs.
Yep, yep.
And be punchy. And sometimes two or three sentences is enough for a paragraph.
Yeah. What about point form? Do you think point form is good?
Yeah, no, bullets are very handy because when you have to highlight the benefits of a product, you just say this is seven reasons why you should invest in this particular product. So, and then you list them. So bullet points are really important throughout.
Yep.
Definitely, because suddenly people will just stop and they will skim. And the beauty of the bullet points, that'll stop them. And they might just want to read the bullet points. That's why they're so important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's fascinating because, you know, it's an art form in itself. And the more you practice, the better you become and you start to get better results. I mean, I'd love to have an example of maybe how you've helped a client or even for your own marketing purposes. Maybe tell us a story about what happened. How was it at the beginning? What did you do to put some copy together? And then what results did you get? Have you got any examples or case studies that you can kind of share with us?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I did for one of my LinkedIn contacts, who's a awesome fitness trainer. So he had some copy sort of written. So what I do when I onboard new clients, I get them to fill out a brief.
Yep.
And then he filled it out. So I could see he was really motivated. So that helped me.
Right.
And then so I just got, yeah, I just wrote it completely different. So different headline. So yeah, he probably used a lot of language that gyms and fitness people are with. So I put,
yeah,
like say in the first paragraph, I started with a bit of statistic, why people struggling with weight loss, something like that.
Yep.
And then I sort of did a story. There was a story element about his story and how his motivation is to help people because of how he had some similar challenges when he was younger, in his late teenage years. So I pulled in different elements, but I think the best part of that was the headline that I did for him. But yeah, it did actually quite well because he's an online trainer. So it was basically an online sales letter.
Okay.
So yeah, he was happy with the result. I was happy that he achieved a good result.
Yep.
And
he started getting,
I'm not exactly sure the percentage of sales he got, but yeah, generally because I brought my copywriter eyes into it, so it gave a different perspective. So there wasn't really much wrong with what he was doing. I just put my kind of expertise into it, so I look at it differently.
Yeah, you took your perspective and put your brush over it.
Yeah, it's like it's got the a client will have the general idea, like of what their copy should look like, but I'll just go through it and obviously because I've read so many books and put a lot of hours into this. I mean, the 10,000 hour rule applies to me when it comes to this business. I've put hours, and so I've read a lot of the great sales letters and great books. So that's, I draw on that, and then I just, because I've immersed myself in that. I've got a different knowledge, I guess, than the average person. So there's nothing wrong with that, what they've done. My job is to just make it better.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned something really interesting before. You said initially he used a lot of terminology that was more centric to his industry. And that's a really good point because, you know, it might be centric to his industry and to the professionals in his industry, but the public don't understand it. So therefore, it's not going to resonate with them. So it's really important to know your public, to understand, you know, where they're at and use their language. Would that be true?
Yeah, well, the word that I remember in his copy was truth bomb, you know. And I know not just fitness trainers, other people use it, but when I read that, I'm just saying to myself, so what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if you use so what words, it turns people away. But maybe to a younger audience, they like using that word because he's younger than me, so he's a lot younger. So, so they probably... Yeah, also demographics plays a part in language as well. But we're talking about selling someone's services, so I've got to use sales language or put together what's called a sales argument. So you need to sort of like sometimes things can be generic, and that's just an example of a generic word. Well, it probably everybody uses it. It doesn't mean it's going to make you sale. So I use a time-tested rules that they still work, and but yeah, it's about using words that are going to connect with people and the story element. That's your really strong point now.
Yeah.
And you've got to tie everything in and proof as well, and you have to have a good offer.
Yep.
So if one of those elements is not right, even using a power word is not going to help you. So it's all got to come together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. So it's a sum of all the different moving parts that come together to make this magical magnet.
Yeah. It's like a German flashy car. You know, it's like a Merc. It's like a BMW. It's like Porsche.
It's like a Swiss watch.
Yeah. They just got this synchronicity. You know what I mean? It's like incredible, those cars, how they made, or any luxury car.
Yeah.
You know, it's you kind of got to do that. That's why when people ask for prices, it's really not easy because there's a lot of mental hours involved. Even when I'm having a break from it, I'm still thinking about the client.
Yeah.
It's copy, you know, so it's one of those tasks. It's like being in the studio. It's like when the Beatles were, I don't know, working on, I think, the White Album, one of the classic albums. It took, you know, creative work takes a lot out of you, you know, emotionally and physically, and because I want to nail it for the client.
You find you're having dreams about catchy phrases and stuff, and you get up and you've got a notepad next to your desk and you quickly write it down, then go back to sleep?
That's supposed to be a good one. Yeah, I haven't done it very often, especially recently, but Evernote's got to be the best app because whenever I've got half my LinkedIn posts in there, so I just use that. There's a couple of words, Evernote.
Okay, good one.
Yeah, you can store lots of documents, and it's and for links, like I just, because I use a lot of call to actions on LinkedIn, so I just go to get my links, and I also share a lot of other people's articles, so I just put it all in there. But it's a great app.
All right, I'm going to check that out. You've mentioned a couple of good apps. Grammarly and Evernote.
Yeah, Grammarly, Evernote. There's probably other apps similar to Evernote. I'm not sure other ones, but I would say the three most used ones, LinkedIn's obviously hands down the most used app.
For sure.
And then Facebook, I've become active in recent weeks, so sort of made a comeback there. Meetup. Yeah, I'll use that quite a bit.
Meetup, yeah.
Meetup's a pretty good app, yeah.
Yep, Meetup. Oh, very good. And so, Carlo, if people want to get in touch with you and your services, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just hit me up with the LinkedIn request. I mean, I do have a website, which is called Epic Copywriting, but even Facebook is fine. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, but generally LinkedIn is the best because I like when I connect with someone, I usually like sending them a voice message.
Oh, nice.
That's what I like. Well, you can do one actually on Facebook too.
Yep.
So, no, they're the best avenues, I would say.
So you got a Facebook page as well for your business
I've got a business page. I've got a sort of group. So I usually like inviting people to the group, which I've had some connection with, and you can share posts, you can do networking, and I have a LinkedIn group. And pretty active on both platforms. But I love connecting with people and networking.
Wow, fantastic. That sounds like it. Sounds like you're all over it.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of idea. So I always like to look at life as you've got one shot at it and give it your best shot and have no regrets. So in order to do that, I have to make the most of it.
Yep, you got to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in terms of your advice, I always like to ask people at the end of the show, what are a couple of things that you might want to give in terms of tips and insights to the audience that'll help them understand their copywriting and maybe their entrepreneurial marketing a little better? What can they use? Have you got a tip or two for us that we can use?
Yeah, I mean, I've always got a tip. So yeah, when it comes to copywriting, it's basically just you do got to test and measure. Yep. And obviously different markets have different languages, so you have to know the language that market speaks.
Yep.
And I mean, with entrepreneurial, I mean, there's obviously a lot of success stories out there, but the only important story is your own. So if it takes a while to get your business off the ground, doesn't matter, because I've been there, done that. So
I love that. I'm just going to jump in there. I love that. So I mean, so success for you is a very solo journey. You don't compare yourself to anybody else. You just get on with it. You know, you're on your own journey and you measure your own results compared to what, you know, the journey you're on. You don't compare yourself to other people. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been guilty of that in the past. So in the last year, I've, invested in myself, my personal development, watched different podcasts when I can. But I was very reliant on drawing inspiration from famous people. And so, like, now I find that I don't have time because I'm putting so much into my own sort of business. So yeah, basically it's all about, like, it's good to be inspired by others, but you've got to learn to inspire yourself. So you've got to continually invest in yourself. But yeah, it sounds a bit selfish, or focus on your own journey. But if you look at others, you'll beat yourself down.
Yep, you'll only be disappointed. I think that's a really good point. Take inspiration from many different sources, but only focus on your own journey in the end. Don't compare your results to others. Take inspiration from others that allow you to go further on your journey. You know, so it's a slight different way of thinking. I really believe that.
Yeah, no, I'm outside box thinker. So, yeah. I mean, there's some people, they'll get it, like they'll get success pretty quickly, but it just means that it was meant to be, because I'm a great believer in that. Some people, they're, story, it's just written different, and it doesn't matter what you try, you can't have that sort of quick success. So definitely. I mean, there's so many inspirational people on LinkedIn, and it's like, yeah, I look at them, but also, yeah, if I'm getting good feedback from people, I mean, that's very inspiring too. So I think just go into it like you're helping people.
Yep.
You know, you're not you're on your own journey, but you're still helping people and
definitely
not being so self-centered, but yeah, I think people get drawn to that.
Yep, I'm 100%. You know, you're there to provide value to other people, help other people, and you know, it'll only help you in the long run. The results have no choice but to show up. You just got to be patient and just follow your own journey, and draw inspiration from wherever you can.
Yeah, I mean, if you knock on 100 doors, it just means you haven't knocked on enough. So
maybe it's done 100. Absolutely. Well, Carlo, man, that's been absolutely fantastic discussion for a Monday morning. You know, hopefully you've given everybody some really great tips and tricks on how to write better copy, how to become a better storyteller. We've got some great apps for people to use, like Grammarly and Evernote. And you know those power words that you mentioned? Do you have a list of any of those on your website or anything like that?
It's actually not on my website. But I can, people, send you a message or send me a message, I can send it out to them. So it's basically a download 120 power words.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, even I can even send it to you. So, yeah, it's free. There's no charge involved. So it's just something that I put together. But, no, they're very important, and you can use them anywhere. And the people that I've sent it to, they gave me quite good feedback from it, and they said it's already improved their, especially on LinkedIn, their posts. So, yeah, no, it's definitely good PDF for anyone that actually – it's a good starting point anyway.
Perfect. Well, I mean, I might grab the link from you. I'll put it in the show notes and people can access those and you can start writing better copy straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I'll definitely send you – I'll send you the guide afterwards. Definitely. Fantastic. Sure, Darren.
Fantastic. Well, Carlo, mate, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a great conversation. Really, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I've learned a lot myself. So really thank you for coming on the show this morning.
No, it's a pleasure, Darren. It's I really enjoyed today's conversation. It was really nice conversation today, and hopefully your audience will become better copywriters from it and storytellers.
Absolutely. I'm sure they will. And, you know, I'm going to listen to this a few times because there's some really amazing golden nuggets in this conversation. So I think it'll all help us on our journey of storytelling and copywriting, which is so important these days for marketing. You know, it's more noisy out there every day, and you have to cut through the noise. So you've got to be better at it than everybody else. So this is where you start.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Rome wasn't built in a day, like they say, but yeah, just start. Yeah. My advice is just write, use words that people understand. I think that's what Churchill once stated. So, but yeah, just keep it simple. And yeah, it's really hard to cut through, like you said, but I'm really looking forward to seeing interview on all socials, and this has been a great experience even for me.
Fantastic, Carlo. Well, thanks again, mate. Have a great rest of the day, and all the audience out there, we hope you've enjoyed our show for this Monday morning. We'll be back very, very soon for another episode. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Bye for now. Thanks again, Darren.
My pleasure, mate.
Okay.